With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Today on the ZabeCast, talk about a dagger. Jon Rahm just got robbed of $1.6 million in broad daylight. Somebody call the cops. Better yet, PGA Tour, get a grip. The professor joins me today, Kevin Brandt, radio host, lead singer of a garage band, and yes, an actual professor of marketing. All that plus social media, D-Day, NBA, and more. Buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, June 7, 2021. Thank you for downloading. It is good to be back home. I just got back from the Outer Banks, and boy, is my ass tired. Yes, about 7 hours in the old captain's chair. I threw a complete game. Let's call it two runs. There were some moments there. I was having trouble with the flow of traffic on I-64 coming out of Hampton Roads. And so I had to hit the brakes pretty hard a couple of times. And I got the exaggerated seat grab and the from the missus in the shotgun seat. And she wasn't wrong. Like, that should never happen. You should be smooth enough and you should drive gently enough and give enough space that when you're with your family, you're never having to slam on the brakes, short of, say, somebody, I don't know, losing a tire or something crazy like that. So that was a little bit bad. And then the heart-stopping moment of the ride home was when, I don't know what happened, but I think my knee knocked the stick shift of my Ram 2500 of the Mobile Strike Studio. It knocked it into the manual shift mode. You know how you can knock it to the side and then you can go up and down if you want to, I don't know, play Mario Andretti in a Amazon delivery truck vehicle. I knocked it out, I think, and I start to coast. And then it's time to hit the gas, and I hit the gas. I'm like, what the, get the gas. Why is everything going down? Why is the tachometer going down to zero? It's not revving. There's no gas going to the engine. I'm like, oh my God. The car still ran. It didn't stall. It wasn't smoking, but it was like, it's not running. We are a long way from home with me, wife, two daughters, and a dog on a blistering hot day with nobody. My parents were not caravanning with us. Neither was my brother. We were all alone. It's like, holy shit. Gotta be kidding me. My luck with this van has not been good so far. Anyway, I coast to a stop on the side of the road. I put it in park. I then hit the gas again. Nothing. But the car is not dead per se. It's not throwing any real lights up there. And I'm like, all right. So I turn it off. And then the moment of truth, I sit there and I pause for a second I take a deep swallow and I'm like, please God, start. Started right up. And I think that was some sort of karmic shout out. Karmic shout out? Karmic or cosmic? A cosmic shout out. I think this is KB texting me. Okay, sounds good. All right, cool. I'm going to call him in just a second. Because I watched the Breaking Bad episode again on Netflix at the beach, just popped into a mid-season. I was like, ooh, this is a good one. When they almost got stuck out in the desert cooking meth because, well, spoiler alert, Jesse had run the battery out by leaving the keys in the ignition. Maybe that was the cosmos going, hey, how would you feel about this? But I think it was just what happened, and I called my man Rezzer at Rustero, Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, Metro. All the names just blend together. You know what I'm talking about, where I got the beautiful Ram 1500 truck, which we did not drive down. I wanted to drive it, but we had the dog, we had it in the crate, and blah, blah, blah. And I called him, and I said, what do you think that was? Because my theory was that knocking it out of drive into auto shift and then not doing anything with the auto shift for about 30 seconds as I was coasting in light stop and go traffic somehow confused the computer on board, and it just said, okay, I don't know what you're doing. You're not shifting. You're not putting any gas on. So I'm just going to shut the engine down. And maybe that was a safety thing. Rezzer believes that might be the case as well. If you own such a vehicle, if you've had something like this happen before, let me know. But it was almost an absolute debacle. So yeah, drove the whole way, got pretty tired. You know, it's not very long. It's a five-hour drive. For people that drive a long way, and I am driving to Wisconsin in a week. End of the week, I'm coming up. Of course, I'm stopping halfway in Indianapolis, so it'll be 8 hours to Indy, another four up to Wisconsin. I'm not a good long-distance driver, so when I throw a complete game and I get the win, I feel pretty good about it, which I do. Feel pretty good. Good to be back. So I got home, got everything unpacked, and as soon as I got unpacked, I then got on the mower to knock out the back half of the property for 2.5 hours because that had not been cut prior to me leaving. Whoo, is my ass tired? I know. Oh, really hard. You sat on your ass all day. Well, I did, but I mean, I had to pay attention to what I was doing. Had to do some modest amount of exercise. That's not exercise. Okay, it was not as easy as sitting on my ass. How about that? I would have liked to sit on my ass and watch the golf. Watch the non-John Rahm Memorial, or maybe to see Lexi Thompson cough up. KB, my man, what's going on, my brother man, as you like to say?
What is going on with your bad self?
I'm just recounting how I spent 7 hours driving the van and the kids home, and then another 2.5 hours on the lawnmower. All in one day. I feel pretty proud of myself. And then the inner heckler said, you sat on your ass for 10 hours. Whoopity-doo.
You know what? It's tiring. it was seriously. Driving is tiring. It's exhausting. I don't bust anyone's balls for that.
Are you a good long-distance driver?
Not really. I mean, I am. The last time I drove long-distance, we were going from Milwaukee to Destin, Florida.
Ooh.
For spring break, and we left at 8. We would leave at 8 about 8 at night.
Who's we?
Myself, my wife, and my son.
Okay.
And it was when he was in high school. And because, you know, you got to get through Chicago. You got to miss the traffic in Chicago.
Chicago. That's
every fucking guy in Wisconsin. And so my wife and my son, you know, fall asleep. I'd go for about 4 hours, and then I'm driving, and next thing I know, it's 3 a.m, we get gas. Next thing, we're outside of Birmingham at 7 a.m., we're at a Waffle House with a woman who was a thalidomide baby and was hanging a cup off her stump. And,
So you did the Red Eye family
and I said,
drive.
Yes.
Wow.
And I had 6 hours from Birmingham or something like that, and I said, maybe 5 hours, something. And I go, fuck it, man. I am going. This is a quest. It is a quest. 17 and a half hours I went straight through.
Holy. A 17 and a half hour complete game. That's impressive. See, I'm at the point now, KB, where I'm like Craig Counsell. I'll bullpen a trip if I need to. I might only go for an hour if I'm tired and then flip the keys to the wife and say, I need 2 good hours out of you, and then I'll get the last three. I'll bullpen the trip. I got no shame.
6 hours.
Because I don't want to fall asleep and kill the family.
Yeah, well, Adderall helps.
Yeah, but, I guess it does.
So,
all right. So anyway, the reason I'm calling today was, of course, the John Rahm DQ, which as I thought to myself yesterday when it happened, and then today I go, who is my number one assistant coach on Team Reality that also knows and loves golf? And I said, Kevin Brandt.
Thank you.
What do you have to say about that, Mr. Fung?
You know, this whole thing, you can't believe anything about anything anymore, right? Because everything is seen through the lens of whatever side of the tracks the news media is on. Okay. So you can't believe anything that's coming out about Fox. You can't believe anything that's coming out of the mainstream media. You sure the fuck can't believe anything that's coming off of Facebook.
Oh God. I mean, no.
Mark Zuckerberg is an evil man, an evil, evil man. And so when this Rahm thing comes down, okay. And it was a contact tracing thing, right? So when I saw this, the first thing I thought of is, well, that blows for this guy, right? Because he is losing $1.675 million. So then I go, okay. And now I started digging into it. And because, you know, Fauci gets grilled on Capitol Hill and no one says anything, Walensky or whatever the new CDC person is, and the end of April says, I fear impending doom. And then, you know,
cases are down 80% since then. 80% since then.
Impending doom. And 4 weeks later says, no, we can go outside. So I was trying to.
So
I'm just trying. All I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to.
Here's what I don't know. Here's what I don't know, because I couldn't read the stories about it because I knew it would trigger me. If he had been vaccinated, would he have been excluded from any sort of testing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the story. He would have been excluded because the contact tracing wouldn't apply because he would have been excluded because he was vaccinated. Well, that's a whole different scam.
Oh,
of a sudden we're bribing people to get vaccinated. I can get 2 free Brewer tickets if I get vaccinated. Right. What the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, exactly. In fact, somebody had the best tweet of all, which is, next pandemic, I've learned my lesson. Hold out for the goodies when it comes to the vaccine.
You know what? That's the one thing about Twitter is, you know, that's a cesspool tool, cesspool as well. But you get good cynics.
There's gems in there. There's gold in the pile of shit that does come out, and that one was a good one right there. So
I caught a lot of shit for one time because I don't remember what the natural disaster is, and I said, when do concert tickets go on sale and who's playing?
Oh. Yeah, that's always how dare you say that? Exactly. So well, Rahm, like, so Rahm, so the two guys that were playing with Rahm. I believe Scottie Scheffler and the kid who won it, Cantlay, I think, he said after the round, he goes, well, I've already had it, so I'm not worried. I'm sure I've got pretty robust antibodies. Scheffler said the same thing and then added, and I'm not going to talk about whether I've been vaccinated or not. But he, too, wasn't worried. Also, the tour officials who came up to tell him, greenside, they touched him and got really close to him. So how scared were they really about him being positive?
You know, it's, well, one guy, I did see one guy had a mask. Okay. And
so what,
you know, and Nance and those guys didn't know what was going on. So they thought like his parents were killed or something like that. Oh, they said, you know, it was something serious. Well, they didn't say that, but they're like, oh my God, this is serious. Well,
right. Because he doubled over.
$1.6 billion.
Right. He doubled over immediately. By the way, was it wrong to do it right then and there? They said, because they didn't want him going in the media center, they had to tell him right there. Did they have to tell him?
Okay. No, they didn't have to tell him in full view.
Okay.
They could have.
Was it wrong?
Company and said, well, you know, everything is, you know, it's all virtue fucking signaling. You know, I'm sitting here watching the Bucks game, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they say, hey, Milwaukee's going to be open on June 1st, which is great. And the first thing that people think is, well, why do they project it out? Well, if you have businesses, they can't hire, you know, the businesses have to have employees. They need time to ramp up again. Yeah. So I get that. I get that. But they make the announcement and they say, okay, you're going to be open on June 1st. And then, but everyone's sitting 6 feet apart. You know, I never get the basketball thing. I'm going to sweat and spit all over you. But when I get to the side of the court, we have to sit 6 feet apart. Yeah. And the only conclusion I can draw is that apparently hardwood floors kill the virus. Because if you're on hardwood,
it just,
you can sweat and spit.
The whole sports world is all over the place. You know, the thing about Rahm is this. First of all, I did hear that the cycle count on this PCR test was over 30, which is still too high. They said they can't find actual live virus beyond 18 or 19 cycles. That's number one. Number two, outdoor transmission. There's only been like two documented cases of it worldwide in the pandemic. Outdoor transmission is extremely rare. And asymptomatic transition is rare as well. There would have been options the tour had to say, okay, you know what? We're going to send him out in his own group at the end of the line because, you know what? We don't think he's a danger. They could have done that. But this was bureaucrats, KB, who had set up an elaborate set of rules and said, well, we set up all these rules. We can't just ignore the rules. Let's follow the rules and say, what a good job we did following our own arbitrary rules.
Well, hey, it's Jack's tournament, right? Jack had it. Okay, so he wasn't in danger.
And Barbara,
so they're fine.
Yeah, you know what, Doug? I had the sniffles, but Barbara had the shits. I mean, she was in bad shape. I did not go to that bathroom for quite a while.
Thank you, Jack.
You know, they could have, they could have pulled him off. They could have, he could have gone off alone. They do it all the time. They do it in the mornings, you know, when they have an odd number, they'll send the first guy off,
right?
You know, with
and
they put a playing partner with him, play him alone at the end.
Here's the ultimate question. Who did this serve? And is the tour happy with how it came about?
I think who did it serve?
Who did it serve to protect? For whose benefit was this?
It didn't protect anyone.
Okay. Did it change the pandemic curve in the state of Ohio? No. Do you know how many positive cases there were on Saturday in the entire state? 326.
Yeah.
So there was a 1 in 31,000 chance that you could get COVID. And John Rahm got a hole in one on the same day he hit the 1 in 31,000 lottery, which is odds I can't even comprehend.
Buy a lotto ticket. The whole thing is ridiculous. So, but, you know, who did it serve? I mean, that's an entirely different question. Who did it serve? It served the tour because they got to be all pious. And look at us. We're saving humanity. We're not letting him, you know, spread this evil virus around. You know, and the outdoor transmission thing is such bullshit. I looked up because when I saw that, I started looking up some of these studies and that what's her name, Walensky or whatever it is, cited this number. You know, we've seen 10% of transmissions come from less than 10% of transmissions come from outdoor, but they say 10%.
Yeah. Yeah. They said less than 10%. And what's the number?
Well, 0.1%, which is less than 10%
of 1%. Exactly.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong. It's less than 10%.
They're such fucking
liars. And one of the studies that, one of the studies that they quoted, the 10% number was like a study where 95 people out of 10,000 contracted an outdoor transmission. You know where the 95 were?
Where?
On one fucking construction site in Singapore.
Which I bet those working conditions were not exactly the kind
we'd
see.
They were building cement rooms. So they were in fucking cement.
So they were quote bullshit outdoors, but they were really indoors inside cement rooms. Yeah, right. It's bullshit. Do you see where Alameda County, California revised its death count from COVID down to 25%. They went through their records and they go, yeah, you know, we overcounted this by 25%. That's the amount they admitted to. There's probably more. You could probably go, no, that's not a COVID death. No, that's not either.
Are they going to give the money back that they get?
No.
For charting it as a COVID death?
No. No, they're not. So when is the tour going to say, you know what, now that everyone who wants a vaccine can get one, and now that the pandemic is to its lowest endemic levels since we began testing, we're going to stop testing our players entirely, and it's up to the players if they feel that they need protection to get a vaccine or not. And we are done with this.
I agree.
When will they do it? Why don't, and you're a man who knows business and organizations, why are businesses so hesitant to wrap things up?
Well, let's see. For purely, if I'm just speculating, everyone likes to feed the beast, okay? And look at me, I'm being safe and we're taking precautions, because that's what was pounded into everyone right. for the last 16 months, right? So fall in line. Businesses are going to do it, some of them because they're just brainwashed. The others would be doing it because, right? Well, for appearance, or they might not want to be held liable either. You know, if someone gets sick somewhere,
I don't think that's a lawsuit that would ever get any traction. But yeah, I think these companies do it because they are afraid of looking callous or looking indifferent. They don't want to appear. Someone would write an op-ed, and I know who it would be at the USA Today, that Yenta, Christine Brennan, saying the PGA Tour has recklessly folded up their COVID unit and are no longer going to test their players.
Sure.
This is the kind of, wait for it, Neanderthal thinking, KB, that we can't have.
Here, and this would not be a problem. I will state this for the record. This would not have been a problem if it weren't for social media. Because now social media and the Karens rule the world.
They do.
Okay. So if someone, and then people have gotten into this, what social media does is it's divided everybody to the point where everyone's tattling on everybody else, right? Do you remember that when you were a kid? Don't be a tattletale. That's what my parents always said to me, right? And so everyone, and they can anonymously tattle on somebody. So it makes them feel good. So when you start doing that, everything spins out of control. So you have to go and be hyper protective, and it doesn't make any sense. Zabe, you told me this last year playing golf, and I started doing it. I wasn't even thinking that way. When you go out to the golf course, I can't stand putting with the pin in, right? Oh, can't take the pin out. And you said, what are they going to do? Come and pull you off the course? And I thought about that, and I go, you know what? You're right. What are they going to do? So I'm out playing last August or something, and I'm playing, and I got like an 8-foot putt, and I take the pin out. And the guys that I'm looking, you're not supposed to take the pin out. I go, you just touched every fucking door handle in the pro shop. I'm taking the fucking pin out. If you don't want to touch it, fine.
Don't touch it. Right.
I'll take it out. I'll put it back in.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. We become a society of arbitrary rules enforcers. Not all of us. I don't do it. But a lot of people seem to be emboldened with, oh, good, I can be a quasi-brown shirt and tattle on people in real life and on social media and everything else. It's ridiculous. Go ahead.
I'll give you another great example. And this happened. There was a friend of ours who made it a point. Because we go out to this place all the time, my wife and I do, and she had gone out to a party there and made it a point to go and take a picture of the bartender and send it back and said, the bartender's not wearing a basket. And our reply was, why are you staying there?
A basket?
No, not wearing a mask here.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misheard
you. So it's like, you know, this place that you go to, they're not wearing a mask. And it's like, well, then why are you staying there?
So wait, your wife didn't like that? She wanted him to wear a mask?
No, a friend.
Oh.
There's a place that my wife and I go, and a friend went out of their way to tell us when they were there that the bartender wasn't wearing a mask, at which point it's like, well, then why are you still sitting there?
Yeah. To me, that's a advertisement to go. I'm like, oh, yeah, good. They're not wearing a mask. Yeah, I'm definitely going to support that place. Hey, on the social media front at the beach, my sister, Anne Marie, is the social media manager for a trade association in D.C. And boy, did she have some strong opinions about just how bad some social media is. And by some, she means almost all of it, but she's got to deal with it because it's part of her job. She thinks it's a big pyramid scheme.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sure it is. And it all feeds to one of two places. It all goes to Google or Facebook because they own everything.
Facebook owns
Instagram now.
I know. I started the discussion by saying, do you think will come a point in which social media is no longer the thing, that its popularity will have faded, that it will have had its time in the sun, and we're moving on? And there was a strong division around the table. Some said, I could see that. Others are like, no way. I think there's a chance eventually we get exhausted with it and it becomes MySpace.
Man, I don't know, because the stuff that's popular out there is all driven by vanity. You know, it's all, you know, it's one of the mortal sins. It's one of the seven deadly sins. It's all vanity. I mean, look at all the influencers and people that want to take pictures of themselves.
Okay.
And, you know, that's, as long as they can continue to do that, if they find another place they can do it.
But what happens when everyone, what happens when this generation,
celebrities?
Right. But what happens when this generation gets bored with social media in general?
They'll find something else.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. Maybe they'll find something less destructive, less inward looking, less narcissistic.
They're always going to find it. It's, well, first of all, you got to get to the understanding of the fact that it's not about sharing anything. It's about privacy invasion and selling your data. Right. Okay. That's what it is. Yeah. Plain and simple. I mean, you know, when you think that, why Facebook is worth, you know, $100 billion or whatever the hell it is. I don't even know what it is. $1 trillion. Well, it's not because of the sidebar ads in Facebook Marketplace. Okay. That's not how they're generating the revenue. And people are, they're so, it's their claim to fame. And this is the God's honest truth. I mean, there are people that will pull posts down if they don't get enough likes.
Oh, no.
Because they feel it reflects badly on them.
Right. My daughter taught me about shit posts. I said, "What's a shit post? You've ever heard of that?"
Huh.
It's a intentionally bad Instagram post that is almost like an inside joke amongst friends, where they purposely try to make a bad one that's not creative, that doesn't look good. It's a shit post. Now I learned about Finsta accounts as well, fake Instagram accounts. I'm like, holy shit about that. So I was trying to get my Instagram game up at the beach by posting some stuff on Instagram, not on Twitter. And so I took these lovely photographs with my expensive Sony camera in the proper landscape orientation, KB, and I promptly uploaded them to Instagram. And I started looking at them. I'm like, wait a minute. The framing is all wrong. The dog is cut off halfway. I'm like, what the fuck? They chop your photos into square.
Sure. Yeah.
They don't give you the choice. They're just like, nope, we're going to chop them into squares and you're going to like it. And so I'm like, okay, what other features do I need to know about that Instagram does not let you do? And I started asking questions like, how come when you're looking at somebody's, you know, feed or whatever, the posts are not in chronological order? Because that would seem to make sense to me. What's the latest Instagram post from, say, Aaron Rodgers? Somebody at the table had a good answer. They said, because they want the algorithm, and Instagram wants to see which photos you gravitate toward to further cultivate feeding you your preference. Therefore, they don't put them in order. And I go, you're good, right?
And then they can, and then that's how they push the ads at you.
Sure. Right.
And
then there was a thing where my sister said, well, you cannot put your website in your tag on a post, an outside website.
You have to put it in your, you can't.
And I said, why wouldn't they allow that feature? And the answer they everyone at the table thought was that they want to close off as many off-ramps to Instagram as possible. They want to keep you there. There was another.
That's why I always say.
Yeah, there was another feature.
Link in bio.
Right, link in the bio. There was another feature that seemed like an obvious one that even my daughter said, well, everyone's complaining about they don't allow this on Instagram. And I said, okay, let's think about this. It would be easy to fix. Everyone wants it. Why don't they allow it? And I can't remember what it was, but it was something. I'm like,
it's about control.
Yeah, it is about control. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. It was hot in Milwaukee this weekend. Is it ever too early to be, quote, too hot in Wisconsin?
Oh, I love it. I love every degree. I can't stand the cold. So I played golf. I played golf today. It was 93. Didn't bother me. Drink a lot of water, and, you know, you're fine. I've played out in Arizona. It's been 106.
Isn't it rare, though, KB, for it to get up in the 90s in early June in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think we were setting records all week.
Okay. So it's never too early to be too hot. Not for you.
No, it's never too early. Okay. No, I'll take hot, you know, every single day of the year, without a doubt.
Hey, on D-Day anniversary,
in the league.
On D-Day's anniversary, I want to get your take on best war movies ever. Go.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a good one. The best war movie. You know what? I've liked some of the older ones. I think you got to take a look at you know, Saving Private Ryan is probably going to be, when it comes to D-Day movies, that's going to be the gold standard, don't you think? Pretty darn close.
I would say so, just for
but I like going back to
gritty
Kelly.
Realism of, like, the realism of the landing, what faced the troops, the first ones out of the boats on D-Day. Holy shit. Oh, damn, your phone. Can you shake your phone? I think it's got some, shake your phone. I think it's got some swimming pool water in it. Just give it a big shake there.
Okay.
All right, now we're back. All right, go ahead.
Better?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay.
oh, God, I hate cell phones. They're the worst. And the reason I asked KB to be on the phone tonight was because I knew that a digital connection would have been just as bad.
You know, go on.
All right, hang up. I'm going to hang up and call you right back. Stand by. I just got to finish this right here. Don't worry. I'll edit this shit out. I'll actually do some editing tonight. Why not? Do a little bit of editing. Let's try this again here, everybody. Calm down. Everybody calm down. Did I edit that? No, I didn't edit that. You're just going to be listening to this right now. Fucking cell phones are the worst, man. And I know he does not have a home phone. I'm pretty damn sure of that.
There we go. Is that better?
For the moment, yeah, for the moment. So anyway, Saving Private Ryan, Apocalypse Now, Black Hawk Down amongst the more modern movies. I like The Patriot with Mel Gibson because they had a very graphic portrayal of what it would be like to have your leg blown clean off by a rolling cannonball.
The Patriot was good. The one that I think, I always think of World War II movies. You know, that's when you think of war movies. Apocalypse Now is fantastic. That's just a great piece of film.
Right.
But I would have to say for war movies, when it comes to, you know, the golden age of Hollywood, I push All In on The Longest Day.
Okay.
I'm trying to look here on this list. Henry Fonda in it.
Yeah. Okay. Some of these I've not heard before. Like apparently according to vulture.com, Ran was the best war movie of all time in 1985.
Was that from the Japanese side of things?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there are some interesting ones. There one that's pretty good is Flags of Our Fathers isn't bad.
Okay.
An interesting thing about that is that was written by the son of John Bradley, who was one of the guys that raised Iwo Jima.
Ooh.
The flag at Iwo.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's from my hometown. He was from my hometown, and his son Tom, he and I were locker partners in high school, you know, all through high school, and my sister lived in their house, bought their house, but he never talked about Iwo Jima. And they knew he was one of the flag raisers. Never talked about it. All the kids in the family knew that when someone called around this time, Dad's out fishing. Never talked about it. And when he died and they were cleaning out his stuff in his office, they found a box in the back of a closet that had all of this collected articles and everything about all the guys that he was with. And then the son wrote a book and called it Flags of Our Fathers, which isn't bad. It's pretty good. The book is outstanding.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
Tell me if you've seen these. Deer Hunter?
Yep.
Gunso Mao.
Gunso Mao.
It's fucking crazy. Patton?
Yep. George C. Scott.
Yep. Okay. Platoon?
Yep.
All Quiet on the Western Front. That was from 1930.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. This is my rifle. This is my gun.
Yeah. How about Bridge Over River Kwai?
Yeah. That moved kind of slow, but yeah.
It did move slow. I saw that once. Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino.
You know, I haven't seen that yet, but I wouldn't qualify a Tarantino movie as a war movie.
I know. Das Boot.
Yeah, I did see that, as a matter of fact.
Dunkirk.
Yes, I just saw Dunkirk.
I thought it was overrated.
I thought it was overrated, but I thought it was good. I mean, very realistic in the sense of period for a period piece.
Right. The director actually got the vintage warplanes and mounted these elaborate rigs to be able to shoot from the fuselage of those planes and stabilize the footage. Yeah, I saw how they did it. You know, in an age of CGI, they went the extra mile to make that really realistic. What about 1917, the World War I movie about trench warfare? That was a one, they did like one long shot.
Yep.
For a huge part of the movie.
That was outstanding as well. I like that quite a bit. Then you got into the ones that were, there were storylines that may not have been real, like the Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
I loved Kelly's Hero. Kelly's Heroes is another good one. Yeah, I mean, Telly Savalas, you know, you get him, Ernie Borgnine, some of those old, you know. The Big Red One is a pretty good one. It kind of came and went. I looked up at my computer when you said the anniversary of D-Day, and I'm like, oh, my God, it is. So I know what I have to do tonight. I have to go downstairs and watch war movies.
Okay, done and done. I'll let you go. I'll let you go to it. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you on Tuesday on the radio. Thank you.
Sounds good, Zane.
There you go. All right. Kevin Brandt, a man of many talents, radio host, lead singer and front man for KB and the Dungarees. And yes, actual professor of marketing, copywriting and content ideation. I watched a lot of hockey while I was on vacation and I enjoyed the living shit out of it. And it's weird because, you know, my Capitals are out of it, and it'd be easy for me to go, well, I don't care who wins this series or not. But it dawned on me one of the reasons why I typically, when I'm home and I'm grinding through the week and doing shows, why I don't sit down and watch an entire hockey game is that it's not a very productive use of my time. In other words, if I spend 2 hours plus watching the Avalanche versus the Golden Knights, what actionable material can I use then the next day on my radio show or on my podcast? Not very much. Hockey does not translate very well to sports radio because there's no real plays that win or lose the game. There are goals, of course, that can win or lose the game, but it's one big flowing series of chances. And there's a lot of luck involved as well. There's very few stats that people can grab onto and use in their arguments to fuel a good sports radio topic. Now, this does not mean that in cities with hockey teams that are their fierce, loyal fans, that there's not hockey talk in those markets. There are, and it's intelligent hockey talk. But in general, it's not as easy to grasp. And most people have not played the game. I did not play the game at any organized level, ice hockey, until I was an adult. And at the lowest of low levels. I mean, we're talking, you know, rec league, adult ice hockey, C league or lower, or D league if they had it. It was just, okay, here's a bunch of old men that want to try to play ice hockey, let them play. I did win a championship with the mighty old Ducks, but then again, I didn't really have much to do with it, but it was a fun year. I did play street hockey growing up, and it was me that organized and basically begged people to come play. And I played floor hockey in college, intramurals at UC Santa Barbara, which I should probably talk about with Scott Lynn later on this week because I think he'd appreciate it, him being a big floor hockey guy. I have loved hockey and I have played some form of it, street hockey, floor hockey, rudimentary ice hockey, that I know more than just enough to be dangerous. The reason I watch the hockey playoffs is the game is so good. It's so fast. The hitting is so intense. When there's a one goal game either way in a building full of fans, which thankfully every city now, save for the Canadian ones, who are fucking wasting their time. What are you doing, Canada? Seriously, what are you doing? Every building is now full and it is electric. Watching the Islanders-Bruins series was chef's kiss. Fantastic. Watch a lot of the NBA. I'm not going to talk about it here. I will talk about it, though, on my morning show on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. If you live there, please tune in, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. local time. If you don't, you can get it through the iHeartRadio app. Look for 97.3 The Game and look for my name. The Bucks had it handed to them a platter 46 seconds in, and James Harden goes out with a hamstring. Not sure how long he's going to be out, but that game had to be won, and they blew it in a big way. Giannis had a big night statistically, but otherwise they shot like blind men from outside the from 3-point range. And so now they've got to win 4 out of 6 against a very good team, even without James Harden, which is going to be tough. Game 2 is tonight on Monday, and we will have a full recap tomorrow. Okay, that's about it for me. I've done enough tonight. Thank you very much for downloading. It's good to be back home safe. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. We've got a big week coming up, and then Friday, after my show Friday morning, I'm gassing up the Mobile Strike Studio, pointing it northwest, heading to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. And I'm going to drive that Mobile Strike Studio over hither and yon, to and fro, all over the state. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait to do it. So I will see you guys up there by the end of this week. Thanks for listening. Tell a couple friends. Have a good Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.